Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus has appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of the of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commissioned you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." I want to speak today about the importance of the nations. We have flags here, and we have a sign out the front saying, "Jesus Christ, the desire of all nations," because I believe God is desperately concerned about nations. And from Genesis chapter 12, you see God called Abraham. And he said, "I am going to save you. I am going to be your God, and I'm going to bless you." And the purpose of that blessing was that he and Israel would become a blessing to the nations. And one of the main reasons Israel was sent into exile was, instead of being a blessing to the nations, they made it all about themselves. One of the main reasons they went into exile. And you see all the way through the scriptures, you can go from Genesis right through to Revelation. You sing in Revelation chapter 5 and chapter 15, the song of heaven is all about the fact that there have been redeemed people from every tribe, tongue, and the nations are all represented in heaven. All the nations God desires to be represented in heaven. And I call it the Elam Psalm in the Bible, Psalm 67. I think the psalm I've read more than any other psalm is this, and you see the same principle. "God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us." Oh, we love the face of God. That face of God's always revealed in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But there's a purpose for God's blessing and God's face shining upon us. Not that we may soak in the blessings, as some people teach all the time. This is the purpose of his face shining upon us. "That your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations." So there you see, God bless us. And the whole that psalm goes through over and over. It repeats, "God bless us, that the earth shall yield her increase. Bless us." But the purpose of the blessings is that your salvation may be known among the nations. I just love the face that, you know, the fact that we come in here, we can have glorious worship, we can come in the presence of God on Sunday, and we always have a word from heaven. I don't just work something, all the preachers here, we don't just work something up from beneath. We wait on God, we pray, and every Sunday there's a word here that's in season, it's a life that can change your life, and you can go out of here strengthened, encouraged, and I love that. And we're so blessed as a church that God's hand has been so upon us. We started this church with 9 people, and so clearly God has been with us and he's done marvelous things, and we feel so blessed to be his children. Amen? We've experienced his provision, we've experienced his anointing, and we are so blessed. But there is a danger in this church, but more than just in this church, in all of Western Christianity, there's a danger that the church is so focused on blessing and prosperity. There's so much teaching about miracles and God's goodness and the blessing and the prosperity, and there's a danger that it doesn't go beyond us. When it doesn't go beyond us, that we contain all the blessings and we become what I call sermon sippers, and we come every Sunday, we're blessed, that's wonderful. It doesn't go beyond that. There's a danger that God is about to do in the Western church what he did in Jerusalem. That was, they were told to go into all the world, and the fact that they wouldn't, they stayed in a holy huddle and they created a religious ghetto in Jerusalem, that God sent a persecution among them, because they would not go where God had commanded them. I believe there's a great danger in the Western church that many, many churches, do you know 90%, that's actually above that, I think it's about 93% of all money, Christian money raised in the world is spent in America. I'd say we even tithe to ourselves. But God has a command here to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. And while I thank God for the experiences we've had in this church so far, I thank God for the experience we've had in the nation so far, I believe God has only just begun, and he wants to raise up a generation, particularly you young people, of missionaries to nations. I believe God wants to send so many people into the nations. And this passage teaches, as here it says, go therefore and make disciples of the nations. I want to say, this command is to every single Christian. Every single Christian is commanded to go to the nations. Every single Christian. Now you're saying, does that mean all of us? We've got to pack up our businesses and sell our, you know, gear and quit our jobs and physically go to Ukraine or to these places? No, it doesn't mean that. Some of us do. A minority of us do. I have to, because some of us are physically called to go. And like, there are people that God's just, Jeremiah in chapter 1 verse 6 says, before you were born, before you were even a thought of, I ordained you in your mother's womb to be a prophet in the nations. I believe I fit into that category. I've always known this is what I'm going to do. Other people like Paul in Acts chapter 13, the Holy Spirit commissions them at a certain time in their life, and they are called and sent. And the word apostle simply means sent one. Some people, God will call you and he will speak to you and he will send you somewhere on assignment somewhere. Some of us will be called. Some of us in this church, you're going to be called by God to physically go. Maybe you're going to go with me. Maybe you're going to go with others. I believe so far I've got a team, but I believe God is saying he wants Timothy's. He wants young people to come with us as well. He wants to raise up young missionaries and young evangelists who've got a heart for the nations. So God calls all of us to go. Some are called physically to go from the womb or by the Holy Spirit. And I want to say that the fact is these days, you don't have to be an ordained preacher. You don't have to be an ordained person to go. In fact, a lot of the doors in the nations are closing to ordained pastors and preachers. And the doors God's opening are to the teachers, the doctors, the nurses, and people can go into these nations and say, I'm going to care for AIDS babies, or I'm going to start a cafe in China, and God opens the door. You have a little church that's underground that nobody knows about, but you can minister there, and you can have a great effect for Christ there, where I can't because I'm banned in certain places. They won't let preachers in. So you don't have to be ordained. You don't have to go to Bible scholar to go. You don't need money to go if you're called. God has called you. You don't need money. God used Peter all around the world. And he said, silver and gold, I don't have it. But when this is how God works. When God calls you, you don't wait for the money to come. God calls you and you say, I'm go. This is my purpose. Provision always follows purpose. When God calls you, you say, I'm going. When you start to walk into the calling, the money follows. John Parsons will tell you that. Very first time we ever went to the nations, I said to John, I said, God's telling me to go to India. And I said, do we have enough money? It's cost a lot of money to do this crusade. He says, we just have enough. So we went. We've since gone 37 times because God said to me, the money account in this church would be like a pot of oil. If you continue to pour it out on the poor nations, it'll never run out. And God, has it ever run out? Never run out. So if you call, you don't have to be qualified to have a degree to go, a Bible college degree. God can call you. And you don't need money. God can call you. What do you need? I'll tell you what you need. You need, first of all, you need to be fully surrendered to God that you'll go anywhere. Any assignment he gives you, you'll go. Like Isaiah in chapter 6, when the Holy Spirit came into his room, had an encounter with God, he was washed clean, it's like the blood of Jesus, and God just simply said, who will go for me? God's looking for volunteers. And he said, I'm here, I'm available. And if you're available, God may call you. So God calls volunteers. And he calls them. And I want to tell you, if you are called by God to do something, and you belong to him, and he calls you and you don't go, you're going to be miserable until you do go. You will never, ever, 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 when God's been calling me to do things, I don't do it, you never, ever, ever, ever will have peace until you go, until you obey it. Nothing ever will work out. Sometimes God will make you, if he's called you and you're being slow, sometimes God will make you lose your job. I'm not here on the Central Coast because I love the Central Coast. Some people do, and I think it's great now after I came. But when I first came to the Central Coast, I got a confession. I used to call it Mount Druitt by the Sea. That was, well, we were yuppies in Neutral Bay. That's what we were. We're not now. Where is Central Coast anybody? But we were, Michelle and I, she worked at Macquarie Bank, I worked with Swiss Bank. We were like what you call inner city people. And then I had this season in my life, I'll cut it short, where God was calling me and sending us and speaking to us about coming up here. And we were hardening our heart a little bit. We didn't want to come for a season. And then I couldn't get a job cleaning toilets in the school. Every job I tried for, every job, and I'm reasonably qualified to do things, I could not get until God got us here. And we were sent here. So when God calls you, he'll sometimes pull the rug out under you. But you won't be happy until you go. You'll never be content. You'll never have peace until you go. And, you know, if you have even missed it, I want to tell you, it's never too late to go. God will catch up. It's never too late to go. And when I've been traveling, I've met people. Like, I met a guy in, I forget where it was, some airport around the place, and he was a school teacher, and he just tossed it all in, sold his house, and God was using him in revival in Nagaland. Singapore was, yeah. Another guy I met, a doctor, who just decided to sell his house and sell his business and close his practice, and God was using him powerfully in Mozambique. So God can use you wherever you are. And I want to tell you, if God calls you and sends you and you obey him, you'll be the most fulfilled person in the world. You may not be the richest, but you'll be the most fulfilled. Because God is no man's debtor. So God, he calls us and he sends us into nations. And he sends people who are available, who say, send me. And he sends people who want to be served. And I just say, I've seen a lot of people opt out. I've known a lot of people, even at Bible college, a lot of people that God have called, but they've opted for security. They've opted to put family first and security, and they've ended up miserable. I knew a guy who had a vision from God, very powerful vision from God, about empty pulpits. And then God gave him a vision of empty pulpits. He says, you're going to fill it. And when he went to Bible college, he was the most anointed preacher and the teacher that I've ever listened to. He hadn't even studied, but he just had a gift from God and a grace from God. When he spoke to you, when he just opened his mouth, you felt like God was talking to you. And when he had a child, he said to me, I'm not going to serve God yet. I'm going to go with my wife, who's a senior executive in a pharmaceutical company, and I'm going to travel with her for a bit. When we get the money, I'm going to go into the ministry. He still hasn't entered the ministry. 25 years later, and now he doesn't even believe. He doesn't even believe. It's a dangerous thing like Jonah to run from a call of God. So what I'm saying, everybody has to go. Some of us are called. Everybody has to go to the nations, though. Everybody has to go and have a burden for the nations. And everyone has to go into the nations. I will go physically, but most of us will go like this. You won't go physically, but this is how you're going to go. You're going to go through prayer. If you go to Psalm chapter 2, it says this, ask me, verse 8, ask me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, the end of the earth for your possessions. You may not have to go physically, but you do have to go through prayer. And God will give you, what God wants you to do, God wants you to adopt a nation in prayer. God wants you to pray for one of these flags. The Holy Spirit will give you a nation to adopt and pray. And pray, and then you'll go in the Spirit to those places. You won't go physically, but you'll go in the Spirit, and God will show you how to pray for those people. And it's so powerful. It's so powerful to pray for a nation. You know, there's a part in Sodom. Sodom was a wicked place, a dark place, and a lot of the world today is covered in darkness. But God was doing this deal with Abraham where Abraham was saying, God was saying, they're so dark and they're so wicked. And Abraham said, yeah, but if there's 10 righteous men, will you spare them? And the point of the passage was that God will save entire societies where there's a praying person. In fact, the scriptures say he would have saved Israel, but he couldn't find anyone to stand in the gap. He couldn't find one praying man or woman to stand in the gap for Israel. He said, so I'll destroy it. But where there are people to pray for nations, This is how you go to a nation. This is how it is. You start praying for a nation. In Acts chapter 13, if you turn to Acts chapter 13, you see Paul and Barnabas were commissioned through prayer. God didn't tell us to pray when we pray for nations. He didn't tell us to pray for the harvest in the nations. He said, pray for the harvest is already white. You don't have to pray about the harvest. It's already ready. There's full of people waiting to be saved. But he said, pray for laborers for the harvest. And when they were praying about the harvest in Acts chapter, this is what happens in Acts chapter 13. When they were praying about the harvest, when they were praying for laborers, the Holy Spirit said, set aside for me, Paul and Barnabas. And the Holy Spirit spoke to Paul and Barnabas and says, now I'm calling you for the rest of your life. You're going to serve me in the nations. And see, when you pray for a nation like that, when you pray, if you're praying for Pakistan, the Holy Spirit, as you pray, will speak to men in Bangladesh as you pray and say, go to Pakistan. And you're going through prayer. You know, Jesus ministered to a centurion once. Centurion came to him, had a sick servant who was dying. He came to Jesus, and when he came to Jesus, Jesus said, I'm not going to go to your house, just go, he'll be healed. And it says, at the very same hour, the centurion servant was healed. At the very same hour you pray for a nation, God raises up a laborer for that nation. At that very same hour when you have a burden you're praying for someone in some nation, God raises up laborers for that nation. You know what happens when you start to pray for a nation? God raises up laborers, but God also gives you an anointing for that nation. I've prayed for the nation of Pakistan, I'll tell you, because I'm sent there. I've prayed for that nation of Pakistan for more than 10 years, and my children will tell you, I can walk into 7-Eleven and look out. You tell them. Many, many, many people in 7-Eleven have been saved because I can speak to a Pakistani and the Word of God goes right into them. It's the truth. God will give you anointings for nations. He'll give you an anointing to speak to where everyone else speaks to them. It's just words. But when you speak to them and you're anointed, the Holy Spirit moves through. Your words go right through between soul and spirit, and they get to the place of the heart where someone can be saved. And they can actually hear the word of God because you have been praying for that nation. So we're a church who are obedient. We've got a team going out now to Pakistan. Why am I preaching this message today? We've got a team going out to Pakistan. Over the years, I ran into a pastor recently, and he said, "Oh yeah," he said, "I've seen your sign. The nations are your thing." And I said, "What's your thing?" He said, "Oh, our thing is really miracles." And other churches might say, "Our thing is the word of God," or whatever. The nations are not my thing. They're not our thing. They're every Christian's thing. Every single Christian is called to go to the nations, to go into the areas where, you know, Pakistan, there's 200 million people. All 90%, 99% of them are all living in darkness. All living in darkness, all going straight to hell, a Christless hell. And God's solution is to send people. Go. This is how it works. Always with God. Some will go. Some will pay. Some people have paid. But all must pray. All must pray. And the nations, you know what they are? They are the reward for Christ's suffering. They are the reward for Christ. They're his reward. He suffered that every tribe and tongue. And I don't know why. Normally I walk over there a lot. Today I want to walk over here a lot today, because I feel God is saying to particularly the young people, they always sit over here. I don't know why. They always sit in that corner. Do not, if God calls you, do not choose security. Do not choose personal security. Do not say, I've got to get myself secure. If God is calling you, I want to tell you, you can walk on water with Jesus and he'll provide everything you need. And if God is really calling you, even if Steve's calling you from a young age, when I was preparing this message, I felt like God saying, you know, some people here, you think you've missed it. God's saying to you, it's never too late. This is if you're called to physically go. But also that God wants Timothy's. And I see this church becoming, you know, not only a growing church, but I see this church becoming a training center to raise up people to go into the nations. And I believe there are young people here that, just as we've been used to bring, I don't know how many people to Christ in the nations, God wants to use young people. So I don't know who I'm speaking to, but do not harden your heart and say, I gotta have a secure life. I gotta secure myself materially. If God is calling you, God is calling you. You'll never have true peace until you yield to him. But when you yield to him, you are fulfilled like it's nobody's business. So we have a call. We all have a call to go into the world and make disciples of all the nations. And you know what happens if I go and a team go, and as much as I love this church, I founded this church in my living room, as much as I love this church and as much as I'm committed to this church, I have to go. I have to go because God sends me to these places. I don't like traveling. I'm 6'2" and I don't like being back down the back of the airplane. I like being at the front, but I'm never at the front. I'm always at the back. So I don't go because I want to, but I go because God sent me. There's a place where there's a part, I don't want to read it because I'm near the end, but there's a place where David, he's at a place called Ziklag. And I felt God show me this today. When David was at Ziklag, all his possessions and his wives, everything valuable was stolen from him by the enemy. And his own men wanted to stone him. And David was told to pursue the enemy, and you will overtake the enemy, and you'll recover all. And I feel like as we go, on this trip, there are people who have been taken captive by the enemy in the nation of Pakistan, taken captive by the kingdom of darkness. And God's saying to us as a team, you're going to go and pursue them. You're going to go, you're going to overtake what the enemy's doing, and you're going to recover people for Christ. Bring them back into the kingdom of God. When David went, he went, and after a little while, some of his troops, they became really tired because they'd ridden for days already, and they became tired, and they said, we can't go any further, and they physically couldn't, so they stayed by the bags and minded the bags. And David and a few of his men went off and fought this battle, had a wonderful victory. And then David, because he'd plundered the enemy, came back with all this booty. And he came back to the bags, and some of his men said, well, all this booty's for us because we went. And David said, no, 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 the blessings are going to be distributed amongst us, but amongst all those who've minded the bags as well. And God said to me, this is what happens in a church who's really committed to the nations. There is a blessing out of obedience. When we go into the nations, there's a blessing that comes onto the lives that go, those who go, but that blessing is spread right around to those who also pray, those who pay. The blessing of God will come upon all those who are committed to recovering what the enemy is trying to steal, lives put in darkness, put in bondage, that God's sending us to set them free. But there's the blessing of going, the blessing of obedience will be spread around of all those who commit to going into the nations. So, it's for all of us. We don't want to become sermon sippers. We don't want to become comfortable. Lest God has to do what he did to the church in Jerusalem. We want to be people who are obedient to all the word of God. And I want to challenge you today to, there's more flags than this, pick a flag, pick a nation. Pick and ask God to show you a nation. Ask God to give you the most. Bible says, ask me for a nation. They are your possessions. Start to pray. God, give God move in the land of Kenya. God, move in the land of Pakistan. God, all these people are going to a Christless hell. They're living in darkness in Malaysia. God, I want you to... Don't just pray about yourself and your own family and your security. Start to intercede. God, I want you to move in somewhere in Malaysia. I want something to happen in that Malaysia. I do not want all those people to go to hell. I want you to spare them. I want you to move. God will start to speak to missionaries, people, young men of God in Indonesia. He'll start to send them. He'll start to send them because of your prayer. Because of your prayer. And you will then get a burden for Malaysians. God will put Malaysians before you and you'll know how to speak them. You don't know how, but you'll just know how to speak. You'll have an anointing for that nation. And God, some of us are called to pray like that. And then, you know, Holy Spirit may even say to you, now, you know, ask me for the money, I'll give you the money. And you may even just go to Malaysia and just walk around Malaysia and just start praying through the land, and God will start to bring people before you. But he wants each and every person here, each and every one of us, to go to the nations. Whether you go physically or whether we go through prayer, all of us must go. All of us must have a heart, a desire that there be every tribe and every tongue represented in heaven.